NHL coming out with some hard dates yesterday. To get into it with NHL Insider, here's Elliot Friedman. Good morning, Elliot.
Good morning, Dean.
Got excited for a minute there yesterday. All right. Because we came on we have a little text group between everybody here in the show. So, hey, we got firm dates for the playoffs. Who should we get? We get some guests on there. It's like, all right, this is happening. July 10. What's the date? It's June 11. Okay, so we've still got a month to wait. But again, it is it's progress of sorts. It's good news, I suppose. Your thoughts on, I mean, what needs to be done now? There's a ton to do, but do you have any idea, is the criteria, the list of things that need to come together in the next month?
You know, Dean, it seems like it's a month away, but in reality, it's not a lot of time, and there is a lot to do. So we're expecting an announcement about the border today, right?
Yeah.
So that'll be a big one, because that'll give us an idea of, is that acceptable to the league and the players for using Canada as a hub? So we go border, then we probably go hub cities, and then there's the protocols. There's the protocols for phase three training camp, phase four games, and the framework of a new CBA. So although it's a month and it seems like a long time for schmoes like you and me, I think for the people who are actually doing the work here, it's a lot that you have to get crammed into a really tight period of time. So I think, you know, that's the stuff, the hubs, the protocols, testing, all that stuff. You know, also the CBA, or at least the framework of a CBA. I think that's going to be the kind of stuff they have to get done, because I think they want the players voting on the return to play, the whole thing, by the end of the month.
I was going to say, the CBA kind of has reared its head here. We believe, okay, what you need COVID testing, and we need bubbles and hotels and restaurants and safety and all of that. And then the CBA talk started to become part of it. Looking, what, potentially 4 or 5 year extension? Is that?
Yeah.
So,
well, initially I heard the players wanted 3 years and the league wanted five. And I saw yesterday Pierre report it was now 4 and 5. So they're kind of getting closer there. But, you know, the key thing is this. I think they're working on setting the cap for a couple of seasons, right around 81.5, 82. And I think what they're also going to do is, in the current CBA, there's no cap on escrow. It can just go up to whatever it would have to go to. Well, now they're talking about a cap, and I've heard the highest number would be 20%, and possibly even a little bit less for, I don't know, 1 to 3 seasons. Maybe, I don't know, it's the whole deal, but I don't know the answer to that. But they are looking at that. It is on the table. So that's the one big thing that they have to sort out, is the cap and the escrow. But the other one, and, you know, we've had, what, 6 NHL players that we know of test positive for COVID. You know, what happens if someone gets it there? Are they covered? Are they covered long term? I think the health care and the insurance issue is a big one, too. So those are the things that they have to work out, I think, in order for the players to be willing to sign off.
I know, I think you were on, we had Toronto Radio maybe earlier this week, talking about what the league, what the teams are looking for in terms of a hub city. They want restaurants and all of that. Maybe they go and lock down 3 or 4 restaurants, and those become NHL restaurants for the 2 or 3 month period. Beyond that, and we keep hearing Edmonton and Toronto's in this. I thought initially it was, where is there no COVID? But it's clearly a little bit more than that. What, to your knowledge, what's on that list of things that the league needs to see?
Well, I think number one is safety. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the thing is, if you look at it all around North America right now, there's a debate. Is it a second wave, or is the first wave just not clean yet? But there, if you look at some places, Arizona, Florida, those numbers are starting to spike. So, you know, I don't know, like, I'm not somebody who tracks this on a daily basis, I admit, but I've been looking at enough news to know that we're starting to see some spikes again. So that's another part in this. I think safety is the priority, but, you know, I was talking to a player last week, and this is where you heard this from. I was talking to a player on the weekend. He was like, are we just going to go bubble to, like, hotel to rink? Like, he's the one who said with his team, they proposed to the players, like, can we get 5-4 restaurants that are just ours? Like, no general public can go there, only ourselves. Because, you know, if you're going to be in this thing for 3 months, you're going to want a little bit of flexibility. And I don't know if it's guaranteed that. Like I said, it was proposed. I've had people tell me it's going to be pretty strict. You know, initially when the NBA was talking about Disney World in Orlando, you know, people were talking about, oh, good, we'll be able to take our family to Disney World. I don't think that's what they're talking about. So, I mean, I think at times the players have talked about, can we golf? Can we go to a golf course and golf? Can we have these restaurants just for us? I don't know if it's going to be possible. I still think safety is a big thing because, I mean, one question that we're all wondering is how many tests until we've got, if there's one positive test, if you look at all these leagues that are going now, they don't consider that a big problem. But what's a big problem? Thankfully, we don't know yet, and hopefully we never have to find out. But I think the more openness you allow in terms of mingling, obviously the more you risk that, especially since we're starting to see spikes in certain places right now.
Elliot Friedman, our guest here on Sportsnet 960. Will?
Well, that's the other thing too, Elliot. If you bring the families in, they roam about the city, you'd have to test them every day, and that's more money, correct?
That is true, and the league is picking up the testing. You know, I got to tell you, I don't know the answer on the families at this point in time, Will. If you've been following the NBA's plan, it's pretty clear that they're saying to these players, you know, right now we're thinking that you're not going to be able to bring any family in until some teams get eliminated, right? Because they want to keep the numbers down. But I've also heard talk about, now that the cases are rising, are we sure we want to do this? Like, it's an imperfect time and an imperfect world. And I think you're constantly juggling, and I think that's one of the biggest challenges for the league and the players, is it seems as if the facts change, Will, almost on a daily basis.
Well, and of course, you want to please them, but if I'm looking at it here, and you don't, you know, you talked about safety, how that's the number one. You don't want, you know, if you're the league, if you're the NHL, the NBA, you don't want to look bad where you bring in families, they go out in the public, say Disney World, for example, they come back, they get infected, then the player gets infected, and you have that whole layer. That looks terrible in the league, does it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question about it.
Okay, so I guess if we look at, you mentioned, you know, else other things from your 31 thoughts. You did talk to the new president and CEO in Arizona. It does seem like that's, you know, it's been tried so many times, but it appears they're going to look again at a different arena, a possibility to try and get more fans, correct?
Yes. You know, I talked to Javier Gutierrez on Wednesday, was it Tuesday or what? I don't even know what day it is anymore, Will. It was someday earlier this week. And, you know, the one thing I really do think is that was impressive about it is, like, if you look at Alex Marullo, the owner, and his resume, it's pretty impressive. Like, that guy is pretty smart. And, you know, I didn't know much about Gutierrez before I did a little bit of research on him. And he sounds like he's pretty smart. And, you know, my conversation with him was interesting. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, he was enthusiastic, which I think you have to be in that position. And he's talking about how much he believes in the Coyotes and the team and the organization. And, you know, I said to him, you know, a lot of us have heard all this before. And he kind of laughed and he said, yes, I've been told that. But he had a really good philosophy about it. It's basically, if you're going to try something, you have to learn about what happened before, but you can't, you know, you can't base your whole philosophy on it. And he made a good point. He said, you know, Phoenix is a different market than it was 10 years ago. It's a different market than it was 5 years ago. And I really believe in it. He's a guy, he grew up in Silicon Valley. He also spent some time at Stanford. He compared it to it. And he just said, and he made another really good point, I thought, Will, in the sense that the whole business dynamic of the world is about to change because of COVID-19. We have completely, our entire ecosystem has been mangled here. And he just said, like, who knows what's going to happen out of this. Now, they do want to get a new arena, and he said they hope to make an announcement by the end of the year, and it's obviously a big deal to them. But the one thing that these guys have here who run the Coyotes is they're smart, they've got money, they've got a lot of ideas, they're no dummies. And, you know, that's the one thing that they've really had trouble finding in Arizona is deep-pocketed ownership. I don't think that's a problem here. If they can get the arena, you know, we'll see if they can make it work. I know there's a lot of skepticism, believe me. But, you know, I mean, I believe enthusiasm is contagious. And one thing about Javier Gutierrez is he's definitely enthusiastic.
Speaking of no dummies in a group, it looks like there's going to be a small group of NHL GMs looking at possibilities for the AHL next year. Can you tell us anything on that as we sit here today?
Well, I think the AHL is looking at, you know, what can we do? Like, you know, I've spoke to Dave Andrews, who's the current president and CEO. I've spoken to Scott Housen, who's the incoming president and CEO. And one thing they've talked about is, what do we do next year? Do we start on time, you know, or do we start later? And they're modeling all sorts of different schedules. And I know one thing that they have talked about is if they can't start on time, Will, do they have tournaments? Like, do the California teams, which, you know, Stockton, your team, is one of, do you, you know, practice for a few days and then you have some weekend tournaments against each other under AHL rules so your prospects can at least play? So I think those GMs, and it's Dubas, Holland, Poyle, Sweeney, and Yzerman, there's about 10 people on it, but I think they're the NHL GMs, and they're going to help recommend the kinds of things that can be done. And maybe some ideas like that to make the AHL work. It's one of the things they're talking about.
Last one from me. We don't know what the roster number is going to be. You'd kind of mentioned in your 31 thoughts this week, there's still a lot of talk around the players that have signed recently. What do you think that's going to break down to in terms of when this does resume? Can those guys play?
Well, I know it's a battle. You know, the league doesn't want those guys to play. The Players Association does. I had someone say to me, like, it's never been challenged before, so they don't understand why it would be different this time. But I admit, A, I'm not a lawyer, and B, I'm not a CBA expert, so I don't know the answer to that question. So I would assume it's going to be part of the overall negotiation here. I thought it was interesting yesterday. Stan Bowman had an availability, and you know, they want to add an NCAA defenseman from Denver named Ian Mitchell. He's a draft pick of theirs, and he's going to sign with them, and they want to add him for the playoffs or the play-in round or whatever, and they're still not convinced they're going to be able to. So this is still a conversation that's going on, although the last time I checked with the Players Association, which I admit was about a week ago, they told me they were still intent on fighting this battle.
I guess, Pinder, you want to jump in?
Yeah, right. Just Chris Johnson yesterday with our afternoon guys suggested that it's far from done, but that maybe a clubhouse leader or favorites or just candidates getting a lot of buzz for Hub City would be Vegas and Toronto. Does that echo what you're hearing, or is this still a very, very long list with you know, jockeying for position and lots of runway left here?
I still think there's, I mean, like, I do think, like, if Vegas is one of the cities, Ryan, and I think a lot of us believe it's going to be there, whether it's there at the beginning or they just say, you know what, we'll do the final there and the semifinal and final there or whatever, like, all of us believe that Vegas is going to be there. And, you know, so if you're having Vegas, initially I was like, just take the two cities that work the best. Who cares where they are? Mm-hmm. And what someone pointed out to me is that if you have two Western cities, you're going to have a TV problem. And that is that you know, someone's going to have to play really early because you're going to want your games on in prime time in the East too. So I think if Vegas is one of the cities, Ryan, then you're going to want somewhere east. And if your list east is Pittsburgh, Columbus, you could get away with Chicago if you wanted to, and Toronto. What's the one with the biggest infrastructure there and close together? They've hosted major events before, but we got to find out about the border today. Like if we get an indication that the players can spend their quarantine at the rink and at home, then I think the Canadian cities have a chance. If the answer is no, then I think we're going both in the states.
The thought I've had is, why wouldn't you just have matinees? Like, what's the problem with players playing at 2 in the afternoon if it's a TV event only?
I don't think there's any doubt there's going to be that.
So then what's the concern with having two teams say
in the
Pacific
time zone? If you want two in the afternoon games, you're going to have people playing at 11 in the morning, Western time.
Which they do in Philadelphia every weekend, right?
11 a.m.? But, no, it's not. They don't play 11 a.m.
Okay, so they play at 1, so it's 11 our time. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's a big hurdle, you think?
I think you want 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock is probably as early as you want to play. Are players going to want to play at 11 in the morning? Like, I mean, that's really, I mean, people say that it's a big deal. It's not a big deal. It's probably a big deal if you play it.
All right.
And you know, there's a reason we don't play 11 a.m. games too often, right?
I just think all the changes that are being made and the circumstances, as dire as they are, and the money that's left on the table, that all the changes players are going to have to make, all the sacrifices teams and players are going to have to do, all the rituals that are going to have to change, like that just doesn't seem like one near the top of the list to me. But I also am not an NHLer that has had to play at 11 in the morning or 1 in the afternoon. So I don't know.
I think you'd probably want to play no later. I think you'd want to play no earlier than 1 o'clock local. Like if you play 1, 4, and 7 local, I think that's pretty normal for you, right?
Sure. Go ahead, Dean.
All right. Good talk, guys. I'll get into the hard hitters to end it. We talked to Stephen Brund earlier. We're doing our breakfast cereal challenge. The top four seeds are into the final four. Honey Nut Cheerios versus Fruit Loops.
Ooh,
Frosted Mini Wheats taking on Frosted Flakes. What would be your go-to for starters?
Do I have to pick one of the four or the two head-to-head?
No,
I'm taking Honey Nut Cheerios is an easy one for me over Fruit Loops.
Okay.
You know, Fruit Loops is like cavities in a bowl. So I'll go with the Honey Nut Cheerios. And then the other one, that's a tough call. Like I love both those two, but I'll go with the Mini Wheats.
Nice. Now, what would be your number one pick just if aside from those four, or would it be one of those four?
I loved Honey Nut Cheerios. Yeah. I have to tell you, that was a favorite of mine. But I would say those are good choices. Like Honey Nut Cheerios, Mini Wheats, Frosted Flakes. Like now, you know, I'm 50, so it's like all brand and unfun stuff like that.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, but, you know, like we all got to be regular, right? So, but that those picks, those are good picks.
All Brand was our number 32 seed, by the way.
And it was not close to an upset.
No, Honey Nut Cheerios absolutely destroyed them. Yeah, not close. Have a good weekend, man. Good to talk to you.
All right, guys. Have a great week.